The Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 8th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. COVID-19 vaccine outreach is serving as a catalyst for improving health equity in some low-income communities, including in the state of Ohio.
The Cancer Justice Network is bringing nurses, doctors, and navigators into housing projects, churches, senior centers, high schools, and other sites in underserved neighborhoods in Greater Cincinnati. Director of the Cancer Justice Network, Steve Sunderland, explains that the American healthcare system has largely ignored poorer populations, and that has created mistrust.
They have terrible stories of going to the emergency room and waiting hours and then being disrespected. They have terrible stories of healthcare bills coming to them when they never even knew they were going to get a bill. So they're resentful, they're angry, they're upset.
Along with a hot meal, he says the team is providing vaccinations, plus reliable information about the vaccine and listening to people's concerns. Sunderland adds the navigators also discuss other health issues, cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, and connect people to resources. Mary Sherman reporting.
Meantime, the pandemic presents some future funding challenges to benefits for older Americans. That's according to the 2021 Social Security and Medicare Trustees reports.
Walt Dawson teaches in the Oregon Health and Science University School of Public Health. He says these programs are foundational to Americans' health and economic security as they age. While the reports are troubling, he notes they aren't exactly surprising, because a number of challenges to the Social Security program have been known for a long time.
But the COVID-19 pandemic has made the situation slightly worse and increased by 1 year when Social Security, for example, will no longer be able to pay out all benefits.
Dawson says without major policy changes, benefits would have to be reduced by 24% in 2034, which he thinks would be devastating for older Americans. He says it isn't only the pandemic and economic fallout to blame. A rapidly aging population is also a contributing factor.
Myths and disinformation about the California recall election are getting traction on social media. Experts say instances of fraud are minuscule.
Kim Alexander with the California Voter Foundation says people can have confidence in the voting machines because the state requires they be stress tested and certified.
The counties are required to conduct pre-election tests on their equipment. They're required to conduct post-election audits to verify the results.
Each ballot's barcode is tied to a unique voter, and only one vote will be counted. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Recently, a man in Torrance was arrested for stealing mail, including 300 ballots, so the county destroyed those ballots and sent new ones. This report produced with original reporting by Samia Kamal with Cal Matters. This is PNS. Critics of an energy bill moving through the North Carolina General Assembly say it would cost several hundred million dollars over the next decade and result in higher power bills for homes and businesses.
And environmental groups say House Bill 951 doesn't go far enough to reduce greenhouse gases in the time frame outlined in Governor Roy Cooper's Clean Energy Plan, which aims to cut emissions by 40% below 2005 levels by 2025. Energy policy manager at the North Carolina Conservation Network, Will Scott, says to become law, the bill will need bipartisan support.
It's a really interesting case of, you know, can there be back and forth in negotiation between, you know, a blue governor's office and a red legislature?
The legislation remains stalled in the state Senate, but Scott says advocates are hopeful lawmakers could negotiate a version that achieves the governor's emission reduction goals and is still cost-effective for ratepayers across the state. Nadia Rumlagan reporting.
This Saturday marks the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, but you don't have to visit New York or the Pentagon to pay tribute. We have two reports, beginning with Mike Moen, who tells us memorials have popped up across the country the past two decades, including a new one in eastern Wisconsin.
Volunteers in the village of Keewaskum have worked for the past 7 years getting their memorial ready. It was formally dedicated in June with a ribbon-cutting ceremony. But organizer Fuzz Martin says this weekend is the first time the site will welcome visitors to coincide with the anniversary. He says giving residents the opportunity to reflect thousands of miles from ground zero is important.
Just as you see veterans' memorials and Pearl Harbor memorials, things like that, it is a testament to what we endured as a nation.
Aside from reflection, Martin says the site also gives a chance for future generations to learn more about what happened.
And finally, many have called United Flight 93, one of the four hijacked planes on September 11th, the first battle in the war on terror.
Flight 93 is the only hijacked plane from 9/11 that did not reach its intended target, believed to be Washington, D.C. Instead, it crashed in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, killing the 40 passengers and crew members. The artwork, created by Pittsburgh chalk artist Eric Greenewalt and nine others, will be on display at the Flight 93 National Memorial near the crash site. Greenewalt says he's proud to create art on hallowed ground.
Flight 93 is very close to our hearts and still in our memory and still in our collective minds. I think I, along with the artists, really recognize the solemnity of what it is that we're doing. And this is going to be one to memorialize those heroes from that day. And, you know, at least for a moment, let the visitors at the memorial see who those people were.
The portraits will be made on 3x5-foot cement boards that are transportable in case of rain.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.